All right, so let me give an introduction. First of all, let me tell you what this Kuntres is not. This is not, I think, Ari, you, I believe, were the one who brought to our attention that the Rebbe Rashab had tutored his son, the Fideke Rebbe, the meanings of every word in davening. And I think you or someone asked, is that extant? Can we find that? And you came up with this, which is not that. It's not a word-by-word delving into the depths of meaning of words in the Siddur. On the contrary, it's a very, I would call it pedagogical approach to prayer, meaning pedagogical, mean he's going to teach us in this mimer how to pray. And he's going to do it by first telling us what's not prayer, in ways that we might have thought, that's not praying, all right? And we're starting in the beginning of Aleph. It's not until Ois Dalid that he begins to tell us really how to pray. So before we start the Limud inside, this class is always dedicated to Leilo Nishmat Shloime ben Moshe, Bundi, Freundlich, who was instrumental in bringing a lot of people together for this year when it used to actually take place at Hevra. So, the beginning of this, he's going to tell us what tefillah is not. And then, I believe in Ois Dalud, he will start the progress of telling us what it is and how to do it. Now, one thing that is key, though it's not said in the mimer, is the word tefillah itself. Where does it come from? It comes from the expression, the tipul kli heres, to stick together earthenware so that it binds one to the other. And what we're going to learn here, there's a difference between sechel and its meditative capabilities, which are the faculty of bina, which is why it's called his boinemus, lashon bina. There's a difference between that and what needs to happen to fulfill what really the mission is of prayer, which is to join the head with the heart. Tipul kli heres, to take a lumps of coal of clay, bring them together and make an earthenware vessel. And the earthenware is going to be extremely important, meaning bringing it down to earth so that your heart is excited. The whole second half of this will be an explanation of what it means, excitement of the heart, how it's connected with the faculty of the mind called das, and we'll go through some examples of what it's meant to feel like and how to achieve it. So let us begin. I've given out to you on the chat a bracketed version because this mimer is very long, number one. And not that I'm in a rush, but in the first part, as I said, until we get to Ois Dalid, he's giving examples of what davening is not. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of them, which I think are most relevant to us, easier for us to understand. All right. Since all of you Hasidim have asked the Deiresh and inquired of me, Ech Mispalalim. Now remember, he's talking to Hasidim late 1800s, early 1900s, right? The Hasidim that some of us merited to see, some of them, the Hasidim who knew the Rabbi Rashab and who knew the Fideke Rebbe. And they were Hasidim. If we, like they said about the Tanoim, if the Chazal say about Tanoim, the Tanoim are like angels. And if the Tanoim are like angels, then we're just like men or like people. So these were really Hasidim, not fooling around, right? And all of them, he said, many of you have inquired of me and asked for me to interpret and let, I mean, what is prayer? And with what do we serve Hashem? With the service of the heart, which is tefillah. Now, this little line is a key thing. Remember, tefillah is called, there are three things that the world stands on. Torah, avoida, u'gemilas chasodim. Avoida is the one in the middle. Avoida is the connector, right? Tipul kli cheres. It connects the earthenware so that it sticks together. So you have learning, and you have davening, and you have action. And the stick, the one that creates the stick-to-itiveness is the avoda shebalev, which is davening. And we're going to finally, when we get to it, that expression, shebalev, is the most important thing. Not shebemoya, not what we would normally call his boinness. He'll tell us later that his boinness is a preparation for davening, but it ain't davening. So I'm going to, he says, we're back in the second line. I'm going to explain to you a little bit of my word, be'inyin hazeh, regarding this subject. From that which is found in scripture, in a lot of the Kavit Kedoshim Abaseinu, and out of the sayings of our fathers, Rabbi Seinu, our rabbis, HaKodesh, Zechet Tzadikim Ukedoshim Livrocha Lechayle Olam Haba. That's the meaning of that long abbreviation there. We remember Tzadikim, and they should have life, and they should be blessed, their life in Olam Haba. So I'm going to bring to you, from what the Rebbe is saying, what has been written and what others have said. I mean, this is the classic introduction, because the Torah is a masorah. It's a given overness from one person to another. It's not some highfalutin intellectual who came up with a bunch of ideas. It's got a tradition. It's the masorah. It's nimsa mikasuvim mikadosh kadoshim avaseinu. And he's going to explain it. Asha divreihim devar Hashem Elokeinu yokum le'olam. Which their words, the words of our fathers and of our predecessors, are the words of Hashem Elokeinu. And they stand forever. Yokum le'olam. V'chayim v'kayomim. And they give life and they exist. Kima'oz, just like they did then. Kein ato. So now, skip now to the next brackets, which begins, Ois Aleph. My beloved one, the Rebbe is addressing the Hasidim. My brothers, my friends. Certainly you know, or at least you've heard, harba in yoni hisboininus, about many topics in meditation, hisboininus. And in bifinus mamalik alalmi, whether to meditate on that level of godliness, which we call filling all worlds, I should call muskul yochel ahavin hadavar la'ashurev, which anybody who understands anything can understand this thing upright, straightly and clearly. Gam b'seichel hativi the nefesh b'hamis, even in the animal soul of the nefesh b'hamis. So did you hear what he just said? That the ability to grasp that godliness is the enlivening power of everything and gives rise to the uniqueness of everything. Everyone is so infinitely, at fine levels, different from each other. I mean, it's remarked by many people in the world how interesting it is that of the 7 billion people in the world, nobody looks alike, even though they're all composed of the same few elements.
That's
right?
Not true. People find their doppelgangers.
Some people look like other people, but eventually you could say, no, that isn't the same guy. No. And so that which creates all this multiplicity of differentiation is called filling all worlds, filling up a molecule. And he says, everybody can get this. This is not difficult to understand, that the one who contains everything is able to exude from himself diversity, multiplicity, infinite diversity, multiplicity. Anybody can get it. That's Mamali Kalam. The hand in between the slave of Kalam. Or also there's another level, which is the all-encompassing level of God, that God transcends all differences and is responsible for the basic existence, the mere existence of everything. In the same way that you exist, this cup exists. They're different. Their difference is Mamale, but their sameness, that they're equally in a state of existence, is Soyvit. Everybody can get. So these are the big contemplations, by the way, in Hasidus, to contemplate how God fills the worlds and how God encompasses all worlds. And you can also understand that there are levels beyond God, godliness, beyond worlds, because after all, whether it's filling or transcending, it's in relation to worlds. And worlds is not something that speaks essence of God. It speaks something that he does. All these things are able to come to understanding. And they can become settled in your mind. So basically what he's telling us, even though not all of us do too much of this, his blindness is easy. All you have to do is really learn, and bring it into your mind and chew on it with your brain and ask questions about it. And eventually you develop a hasaga, an understanding, and this understanding will carry you in at least some part of the day when you set put your mind on. But this is not davening. Meditation is not davening. For Levi, who just walked in, the first three oisius of this minor tell us what davening is not.
It's not meditation.
What it's not. And it's not meditation. But anybody can come to good meditation, good understanding, and a good, really, a good restfulness in the brain. The Lashon Ashkenaz in Yiddish, it says a guter leg, that the idea lays by you. It's comfortable, you got it. Someone said to you, do you understand that? No problem, right?
Is it part of davening?
As he's going to say later, it's only a preparation for that. As I said in my little intro, this is not a book about, he's going to talk about the necessity for understanding every word of davening. The host has spotlighted Leo video for everyone. I don't know what that means. So everyone can come to subtle understandings, nice understandings. If you're smart, it's more better. If you're not so smart, it's not so. But anyway, so Vehein has blindness. And this, for example, the first pasuk of Krishna, right? Pasuk Rishon, and then number two, first and second of Krishna. So a person, let's do a little meditation, okay? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem. I mean, you guys out there, if you want to unmute and offer something that you've learned, as a meditative aspect of the Shema, feel free. But let me just say one that I happen to know. I learned it, right? Shema, first of all, it doesn't mean just hear with your ear. It doesn't mean listen. It means take in. Sometimes it's translated as there. All right. Shema, take in. That Hashem is Elokeinu. What does that mean? We translate in English, Hashem is God, or the God is Lord. It means that the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the first Yud being a contraction, he hid himself. Then he after the concealment and the symptom, he contracted himself. He expanded himself. And then the Vav, he brought that expansion downward and he brought it on a flat plane down to earth. Get that? Shema, Jew, listen to that. That Havai and Elokeinu, that simple unity on the one hand and that multiplicity on the other hand, are truly one. That's great. Isn't that great? That's a hisboininess. Anybody want to offer any hisboininess? Okay.
I have some.
Yeah.
May I?
Sure.
So this is actually coming from something from the Altar of Slobodka on actually Parshas Vayera, where he in a different essay talks about how the Zohar states that the word Shema is a mnemonic for this verse. Sheu, raise, Marom, to the heavens, and Naim, your eyes.
Shema, lift up your eyes. Your eyes are in your head. Expand your brain and hopefully see. Even here, feel.
Why do we cover our eyes then?
Why do we cover our eyes? Good question. Anybody want to offer that? Because he's going to talk about later the interpretations that Hasidim make up, which are founded in Hasidus that they've learned, or Kabbalah that they know, or even Torah. So anyway, that's an example. Those are examples. Thank you. Kamakin his bonus bipratius hashaychim lamidas pratius. Similarly, meditations that have to do with particular midos, arousing the love for Hashem, arousing the awe of Hashem. Im hasboinis me'eredes es ha'ava, whether that contemplation, meditation arouses love, oi hasboinis ha'maris es ha'yira, or whether it arouses fear or awe, v'chein b'inin ha'teferes, and also the inyan of teferes, which here he means beauty. You know, teferes is why is it associated with beauty? Because beauty is a composite of a harmonious harmonizing, sometimes of complete opposites. So, and when you're in the immediate Tiferes, the yistaklu b'yakoda d'malka, this is what the Zohar says, it's gazing on the beauty, the splendor of the king. So you could do meditations for that, and you could gaze with your mind's eye on those things. In yes, they call hisboininus teva b'midis, and even though this hisboininus is very good and true, the prati and yanam elokim, in all the details of godly understanding, be'ez inyan shiyir, and whatever the topic is, or befrat specifically, the greatness, the exaltedness, and the wondrousness of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. All of this is with your mind's eye gazing at the beauty of the King. This is what he calls intellectual gazing on godliness. The mind's gazing on godliness. Now, let's remember, this is a great thing. I mean, how many people do this, right? Or how much time do I spend, or anybody spend, doing this, right? But this is amazing stuff. Gazing b'yakoda u'maylus ha'ora laki, gazing at the splendor, the beauty, and the elevation of the godly light, b'yakoda teferes, and the beauty of the integration that he makes with everything, of his greatness, b'remamusa, of his greatness and exaltedness. I should call husha mizvatlin yistalkuz there, to the point where one's senses are totally nullified from this. We would say in colloquial English, you're blown away by it. And you don't feel yourself at all. You're lost. You're in the zone completely. And you're having a lot of pleasure, a lot of delight from this gazing. And this is what we call the sweetness and the delight of the soul. As the soul has delight in godliness. As we say in davening. We should have delight on Havaya. This is an internal sweetness. It's essential sweetness. Shekhol atzmusai, because it touches all of one's essence. All of one's essence is mizbatel b'tainik zeh. It becomes, I don't, you know, how many of us experience this? I don't know. I mean, that's why I say I'm not going to deal with all the different ways in which he describes what Hasidim can feel, which is not davening, but as we say later, preparation for davening. And this affects you very much. To the point where you could feel that you want to expire out of your body. V'avoida zu hu inin etzem deveika sichle. And this avoida, it is an avoida, it's a service. It's called the essence of intellectual clinging, mind to mind, brain to brain. Delakut, shalamayla gambis b'ayla sichle. It's the essence of it. It's even higher than just having some effect in your mind in a casual way. And it's much higher than the raw excitement of just the attributes in the heart. And you should know that this is a wonderful thing, and it comes from what we call Panimas Bina. Now, for John who walked in the room, we're in the middle of discussing wonderful inyanim in terms of his bindiness and meditation, which the Rabbi Rishav is going to tell us is not davening at all. This is not davening at all. He'll tell us later it's a good preparation for davening, but it's not what davening is about. All of these words we just said is not what davening is about. And by the way, I should have said at the beginning, you're going to need to have some patience with this moment. This isn't a one-shot deal. This is at least two classes. I know Mitchell always wants to know how many. I don't know how many, but not until we get to Ois 4, and we will skip a lot, do we really start to understand what's davening. At the beginning of that here, he's telling us what it's not. It isn't meditation, no matter how deep the meditation is. And even though this meditation can bring you to istalkus v'devekus, that you feel in your mind's eye that you're gazing in a mental way with God himself, and clinging to him. And this can have bo gambaleh, it can have some effect, and it usually does if you're doing this right, some effect on your heart. Much because of libi roh harbe hochmas. It said, my heart can see many wisdoms. Shalei b'hamon shoven, because the heart and the mind can become equal to each other. Behu inyan talumis lev, panimis lev, and this is what's called the hidden reaches of the heart, the inner dimensions of the heart. Sheor lelakim meir ba'oimik moichoi b'liboi. The light of God shines deeply into the brain and the heart. And even though the light is radiating in a revealed way, in the inner dimensions of one's heart, there's no visible excitement. You're feeling good. You're feeling good. But you don't have any hisrakshus. You know, hisrakshus is external feeling. That's the next thing he said. And there's no valais shum hazoza. And there's no movement. It doesn't change you, begili, in a revealed way. And one example, and we'll continue over here in the next set of brackets, is in Ois Bay. He's going to go on with this. As I say, we have to get to Ois Dalet before we get to some beginning of understanding what the Tefila is. Now, this is good stuff. I mean, no one can argue this, right? I mean, no one can. And halavai, we should do this. Because remember, at the beginning, if you weren't here, he's writing, as he said, each one of you, meaning the Hasidim of the Rabbi Rashab, have asked and inquired from me how to pray. And it isn't because you're lacking hisboininess, because hisboininess is a thing that everybody, a good chosid does hisboininess, and certainly did hisboininess in those days. And it's even now. I mean, I gave an example. I'll give you another one. Just pops to mind in Ashrei. Ashrei Shvevesa. There's a line that says, "Poiseyach es yodecha u'masbir l'chol chayrotz." So poiseyach es yodecha means to open your hands. Hasidus teaches us, yodecha means your yud, yod echa. Open up your yud. Open up the tzimtzum and show us what's behind you. Okay? And I can meditate on that one. And as he said, arouse some feeling about that. And imagine, at least in my mind's eye, that I'm connected with that notion. And I can even, as he's going to say later, imagine whether falsely or truthfully, oh, the yud is opening up. And I'm looking at my imaginative mind and seeing first the allness in my mind, right? The allness of God before there's anything other than him. And I'm seeing how he's contracted this, squeezed it down to a point, the yud of the Shem Kavaya. And I'm pleading with him, open up your yud. You see how emotional I get just even talking about it? So imagine if I weren't just teaching the class, but I was actually thinking about this during davening. So all these inyanim, we're in Ois Beis now. Okay, Beis inyan, we have three, we're in Ois Beis. And we have four people here at this table. So there's seven of us to contribute and comment. All of these things we just discussed. He's talking now to us, Hasidim. These are all spread out in front of you and ordered. You've got many maimorim that talk about all this stuff. The Kamadurushim, as he says, many maimorim are written about this stuff. Hanitfasim, which are printed. And they are written, handwritten. And all of them explain all of this really, really well. And after all this, told you, it all depends on you. All this stuff is laid out like a shulchan aruch, like a spread table, right? all been spread out from the time of Avram, from the time of Adam Arishan, to all the Hasidic Rebbeim who explained all of this stuff. And everything is up to you. To know these things, and to understand them clearly and correctly, and to contemplate them in your davening, Shezehu ikar kavana, because this is the main kavana that a person has to have in David. So this is the kavana in David, or as we'll say later, preparation for David. You have to bring this to the David, but this isn't yet the David. Ki kol halimid v'hayediya hakaydemes, because all the prefatory learning that you've done, hi b'hachana el ha'ikar, is only a preparation to the main thing. But who is, this is, shehizbaynin mehem b'tefila, that you should meditate upon them in your tefila. U'behizbaynin es pratiyas dafke, and you should meditate on these things with as much specificity as possible. So listen, he's not throwing this out. On the contrary, it's important for us to understand. He's saying that if you want to daven properly, you have to have something to mizbainim to me on and bring that to the daven. So that's the first step here. So limud chasidus, learning a good vort from anywhere, you know, as especially one that is echoed in any of the pesukim or any of the memories that are said in the davening, that bring that to the table, because that's what he said. This is the kavana that you bring to the table. But it's like an appetizer. Behula hachrif habi, it's only to broaden your understanding and the explanation behainin eloki in the godly life, in the godly topic, shemizbainin boy, that you're meditating about. Lahavina hetev, to understand it well, v'ribin harpotim shaboy dafkin, as many different facets of the idea as possible. And you should know, this is plainness. It's not something that should be a generalization, like I'm meditating on how God creates infinite depths and infinite heights. Because I remember a maimer from the Zohar. It says that God is lamaila aden keitz, godliness is lamaila aden keitz, ulamata aden tachlis. Okay, great. It's a general kind of a thing. I'm meditating. It shouldn't be just generalized. And even if it's something you already know, you bring it to the table. Or something you maybe pop up. It's interesting. I wonder a sicha recently from the Rebbe about davening, where he's giving sort of advice to a person. And this is some of the advice that the Rebbe gives to a person. You can see what, this is kind of the part of the advice that a Rebbe gives to a person, that let's say you don't have a lot of time in the morning for whatever reason, and you still want to do hisbainimus because you learned and you know that meditation is meant to be brought to davening. So the Rebbe says a couple of advices. Just each day, pick a particular word or phrase and just let that be the one where you stop and you bring some hisbainimus to that. Or a section of davening, which that will be your section, you know, for a while. You'll stay with that for a while. And so with that, you can create a hisbainimus, a meditation, which isn't just general, but which is pretty particular. Jonathan, we're talking about preparing for prayer. Hisbainimus, meditation is necessary, but it's only a preparation for prayer. And if you're meditating even on something that you've known already, and it's been explained well to you, so if you're going to meditate on it in just a general way, this is not what we really call meditation at all. The fee, why? Because the concept hasn't yet penetrated into the inner dimensions of your heart, brain and heart. So this is sort of the litmus test. You can be thinking about godly concepts, something you've learned, and you come across a piece of davening and it brings to mind something you've learned, or the piece of davening itself, you've learned something about what it means. So the litmus test about whether this is effective, his boininess, is both your brain and your heart are engaged. But it's still only maki. It's only hovering. It's not yet penetrated the way we will discuss when we discuss what pure prayer is. He says, as beautiful as this is just an imagination. Just an imagination. The aim like kiyam klal, and it doesn't have any lasting effect. He aim takeif choylef, because we see this, that a person leaves davening, and may have davened with some of these stances that we've talked about, but he goes off on his journey into the world, and taketh and miyad, immediately everything turns over, and nothing has changed about himself in any lasting way, because he says, the taketh chaylef a'ivet kol his pilots. All the emotion that you had in davening has gone away. You'll recapture it the next day or the next tefillah. Before we go further, I just need to ask, is any of this ringing a bell with anybody? In other words, have you experienced any of what he's talking about, or is he talking like way over our heads?
Yeah.
Anybody out there? Then at least enough hisboininess as you approach the davening, where you take a godly concept. I like you gave the example, Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. And you chazer over in your head something you've learned about Shema. And that begins to create some kind of arousal in your brain and heart. Okay. And then you walk away from it. That's very good. But the farther you get away from it, the farther you get away from it. You don't own it yet in every aspect of your being. And tefillah, as we said, even though it's not said in the mimer, the word tefillah comes from tipul kli heres, to stick together earthenware vessels so that the stuff clings and retains.
That's the word of tefillah? I didn't know.
That's
that. Earthenware vessels? Is that what you're
talking about? The tipul, to cause to cling. Together, the earthenware of a vessel. I wish I could remember where it says that.
Is that a drush or is that?
It's a drush.
Yeah. I'm just curious. It's beautiful.
But I have no idea.
Is it now the clip of Chuma?
With the tuff and the pay and the lamed of tefillah. Typically Harris. Okay, so the point is good. We got one, at least one who has had this experience. And the bottom line of this, why isn't this tefillah? Because it hasn't created. When you have you ever done pottery, if you even look at a pot, you know, you can start with one piece of clay, you can start with many, you put them together, and the end product is a whole. There's no separation of the clay. The clay is part of the pot. So what he's giving us here is an analogy. When we start talking about it, tefillah is a state of being where godliness and humanness, there's no distinction. You're carrying that with you all the time. Otherwise, it's called what derech makif. It's just hovering.
There's something else. We're saying that we're all like part of a clay that's becoming part of a whole. So at the shorsh of tefillah, you have tofel, which is solder. We're soldering the connection.
I didn't know Tofel was solder. That's good.
Well, he's going to speak about that. You just created a drush of your own. Have you seen it somewhere?
No. It's not mine. I learned it years ago from Rabbi Tzinchaya Epstein, who's a shlucha in Chicago.
It's beautiful. Sorry. Pardon me?
Who was that speaking?
Who is that? Aliza.
Hi. She sounds exactly like Amazon Alexa.
Got a big compliment. You heard that? Amazon Alexa. Okay. Right. But it's a similar idea, right? Cling, solder.
All that we're davening for should be on the way and even more efficient than Amazon. How's that?
So the next bracket on page 12, that's the last bracket on page 12, Masha Enkin, on the other hand, Kisha Aor Mer B'Penimius B'Moicha, when the light actually shines into you in what he calls the penimius, the innerness in your brain, Oz Muchra, then it's a must, should spoil Gambaliboy, that it should excite your heart. And your heart and mind should be vibrating with each other. That's my language. That the brain should really excite the heart. Ukamoi begashmius. For instance, gashmius. Kishmiz bainin be'ezet inyan toya. You think about it. And not just the pathing chair. You're actually, you're using your bini. You're focusing your mind on a good thing. Oi niflo, or some wondrous thing. Memele mispoil belev b'teshuka. Automatically, the heart becomes in a state of excitation with a longing and a desire for the Dover Hahu. I mean, you can come up with like simple ones, like you see a piece of, there's a particular chocolatier up in Toronto that my wife buys this chocolate from, and it's, to my mind, the best. And even as I'm thinking about it, my mouth is starting to water. So that's an crude, I'm sorry, crude example of mouth watering, right? That the concept in your Havana, in your mind, is so deep, not knock, it becomes so deep that it's delicious. You're tasting it. You're having an, what's the words? You have a teshuka ledavar hahu. You have a big desire for the thing. Okay. Over on the next page, where the bracket is, this is page 13. Mezehu ma shirabi me'anche shlomein. And this is what it is that many of the Hasidim, misoininim, they're sad, they regret, they're upset about. That even though they're learning a lot of Hasidus, umispalalim, and they take that chassidus with them when they go to daven. Umakalmokim, nevertheless, ein shum shuni l'tay behamidus tivius, the nefesh Abrahamis. There has been no real transformation of the natural midos. You go out on the street, what you see is still. You may have postponed it. You may have learned, don't look back. If it's not healthy for you, don't take it. But, you know, and we're learning in Tanya, the Beinoni, it still rises up in his brain, at least, the initial pleasure or thought or delight or interest that the person has. The natural midas have not changed from the fact that a person has done a deep, his Beinoniness. As you said, the ancient shinu l'tayim, there's no change to good for the midas in the animal soul. Shehein the tokvon kil teldoisim, they remain just as strong as they were when they were first implanted in you. Adram, on the contrary, and this is actually kind of language out of Tanya, the longer you live and the more contact you have with the things of this world, the tangible things, the beautiful things, the intellectual things, wondrous, whatever it is, the more adhesion you have to these things, because the longer you experience them, the more you experience them as you grow up, the more engaged you get with them, and they strengthen themselves more. V'hasibahu kanal, and the cause of this is, go down to the bottom of the bracket, even though kanal means, I've talked about it above, he summarizes it here in the bottom bracket. The reason for this is that there's no fundamental change. Kol zehu lefi, all of this is because because your contemplation and meditation has been in general only, the ainza avoid the cloud, and this is not work. Jonathan, you want to say
something? Yes, I'm just curious that the lady that was Alexa that mentioned that temple literally means, I'm sorry, Eliza.
Connected with solder.
With solder. Is that the literal translation, or what did it mean originally contextually as the root of the word? Was it later translated to solder, or did it mean to bind? I'm curious because it relates to what the rabbi mentioned about the binding in a Kli Eris. Are you able to respond to that?
I honestly don't know the original etymology. I'm Eliza, by the way.
My pleasure.
My understanding when it comes to the Shoresh is that you have Lihit Palel, you have to judge oneself, and you also have Hofel, to connect or to solder. But whether or not that was the original, the way to really know is to see the first time something is mentioned within Tanakh. And to look really in the concordancia, and where it lists all the times that something's listed, and the first time something's listed, that's what tells us the meaning.
Because I wondered historically, if the Sodom came afterwards and it was later a superimposition of the idea of bonding together, and there wasn't a better word at the time, so they translated it as Sodom.
So let's go on, since we don't know. Maybe one of you or two of you, Eliza and Jonathan,
maybe you could
commit yourself to finding the source.
I'll do my best to look in a concordancia to see the source for next week. How's that?
Right, is that okay? That's great.
We're going to say
the kitzur here as we move on to Ois Gimel, which is our last Ois before we actually talk about what tefillah is. Kitzur. Yevor, we explained. We've explained that learning and knowing are only preparations to the meditations that are in tefillah. And this is boininess, the main, it has to be, it has, as you said, it can't be a general thing. It has to be long and panemius. Those people el hakiyim bepoil mamish. And the more the hisboininess is detailed and hazard in ways, different ways, you know, different facets. So the more adhesion it will have. We explained that. Now, here's another example of I'm skipping a lot of other demo. I'm giving two examples of something that's a good thing, but it isn't davening. This first good thing is a kavana and a preparation for davening. Another thing, we find that there are people who, when they daven, they discover new meaning as they daven. And of course, it's understood that the smarter the person is, so the outcome of what that person is thinking about, this novel pirish, is going to be even deeper, according to the person's intellect. So people do this, and they get very excited in their heads. And even the heart is drawn a little bit, as we explained above. And with this, they say, I'm yoisi tefillah. After all, I knew the Pirush of the words, every word, and I saw something in there that had never been seen before. And isn't it incumbent upon every person to make chidushim? Right? Everybody has to make chidush, right? That everyone speaks to us about that, right? This is a responsibility to make chidushim. Okay, so I did that, and it excited me in davening. Besides the fact that it's a big question whether this pirush that you've innovated is really true, besides that, the more it comes that it's not true, so your soul is being excited by something which is not based in truth. I mean, it's a nice chiddush, right? Is it true? I don't know. I mean, I have many chaverim of mine who learn, you know, we learn with me. And a couple of them are very good at this, good at finding chidushim as we're learning. And they don't like it, but I usually tell them, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that, it sounds great, but is it truly emes? So, ubefrat, specifically, kishibayne alzeh binyan, he takes this discovery of this new meaning that he found. And he said, even in, you know, it could be a new true, but it could maybe not be true. But nevertheless, I'm building now something from it. I build a whole building from this. And I take that as my kafanis and my kavana in tefillah. That becomes my intentionality in davening. And that's how I use it to funnel all of my bakashas. And afterwards, it turns out that the whole foundation wasn't true in the first place. So we are now going to Ois 4. We're just going to start it. We have 5 minutes left. So Ois 4, like, so we have two examples. We have two examples of the necessity of preparation, of hisboininess as a preparation for davening, and a kind of warning, be careful about the hisboininess that you do. Make sure it's rooted in Torah, in the Masorah. Okay, so these, both of these hisboininess, he told us this is not davening. This is like a kavana that you bring to davening. So what's davening? So what he's going to do here is going to introduce, we're going to move off the faculty of Bina, which is, right, as I said earlier, and I think we all know this by now, Bina is the word, is blindness, to meditate. We're going to go to the third faculty of the brain, which is Das. And Das, he's going to explain at length, so then we'll have what to contemplate when we daven. But I'm saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek. He's going to explain it because Das is going to be the fundamental mind power which causes the soldering or the connecting of the heart and mind in a way that actually can result in change. Remember, this is, doesn't say this in the Maamar, but it just strikes me to, as we should recall, that davening is called avoida shebalev, the service of the heart. It's not called the avoida shebamoyach, of the brain. And so far, what we've been discussing, his blindness is like, even though it affects the heart, and the heart can become aroused, it's a work of the brain.
Isn't that as well?
We'll see. Whereas avoid, which is where davening is called avoid the shibboleth, the work of the heart, right? And remember that tefillah b'makim tamidim, our davening has been established by the sages in the place of our continual offerings in the temple, right? And those continual offerings are offerings in the actually achieved transformation. They transformed the animal into and brought it back to its spiritual root.
Kiruv, makriv.
Kriv, it's makriv, right?
Closer.
Kiruv, there you go. So with fire, the heart is a fire, and the brain is largely of coolness, of dampness, the damp brain and the fiery heart. Now, so we're going to now start turning around from top down, his blindness to the heart.
Would you please repeat that? The parallel with the fire and the brain.
Well, in Chassidus and in reality, the brain is wet and cool. If you open up the head, and the heart is full of the warm blood. It's the warm blood that's going. Its function is to fuse warm blood with life in it, and so it's connected with fire. And the brain is connected with coolness. Yeah, I mean, if you take an angry person, you can sometimes have him cool himself off by rationalizing rationalizing his thought. You know, don't get too excited about this because, and it can happen. It doesn't always happen. I mean, I know people, myself, including myself sometimes, where the brain can't rule the heart. But the brain is designed to rule the heart, right? The Tanya, Maya Shalat Alalev. The waters of the brain are meant to cool off the heart so that you're not living a life led by your heart.
Except when prayer was supposed to be awake for it.
Right. So he starts Das. He's starting. This is an explanation in this level, in the first part of this, which we'll just touch on. He explains what Das is, and then later in the Ois, he gives an example. And I think we'll just start it, and then probably next time we'll start it again. Anam avoyda hamiti, the true avoyda, and we're talking about tefillah, avoyda shebalev. He be a gia b'tefillah. It's a striving in one's davening. Be a gias nefesh, with a striving of the soul, the yegias basar, and a striving of the flesh, the hainu yegias hamoichin be'ein gadol, engaging the brain with a great, powerful concentration, u'behiskashrus gedoyla, and with a great tying together, tying a knot together, with a starkeit, with a starker
strength,
sugrit, who's good at Yiddish? Gitrangenkeit.
Starke.
With a starke Gitrangenkeit, bringing those two things together.
Strength is stark, right? Strong.
Behamuskel, right? The concept that you're understanding is a concept that is coming from a lot of work in the brain, and by tying that work in your brain in such a way into the concept, shetzrichim leze ariches zman, and this requires a lot of time. Kesha v'yoseh, like an hour or more. L'harchiv es ha-hasoga, the haspoininess, to broaden out one's understanding and one's contemplative, meditative part of the brain, b'ribe ha-pratin, through many, bringing out many, many details, shevoi dafke, in this subject, b'lekorev la'atzma esa'inyin, and to bring yourself, here's the word korban, to bring yourself, to really like offer yourself to the idea, to the topic, al-pi ha-svorim ha-yiduim, like, according to all the angles of understanding this that you know, b'ma'ashim ischadshim etzloi be'ez ma'asa, or even those things that you yourself are mechadish, remake new when you do. So in other words, he's including here those hispoiminuses, right? Start. You've got to start there with a lot on your mind and inclusive of those things which you are mechadshim or mechadish on yourself. But all of this that I've just described and then what I described to you earlier, this is just learning. It's like learning the yin. You need, in addition to that, the hiskashrus, the tying together, an essential tying together, in the essence of the topic, which is understood in your brain. And this is what causes you to know many details, shibah muskel, in the concept, even more than what you learned, even more than what you had known from what you learned before. So I'm going to stop here, but there's one word that's meant to stand out in this paragraph, and the word is hiskashrus, the joining together, making a kesher of heart and mind. And we'll talk, I'll just review these, and then we'll talk about them later. The word das is explained in three facets. This one is the first one, hiskashrus, tying together mind and heart. And it's actually, as we'll see a little bit later, it's really the movement of the heart to the brain, as opposed to hisboininess, which is from the brain to the heart. The heart is the main function here, avoyda shebalev, right? And then the first is that the heart ties itself to the brain, as opposed to the brain tying itself to the heart. The heartfulness is the primary thing. And secondly, that's called hiskashrus. And secondly, another word that's associated with it is called hakora, which is recognition, like seeing is believing. It's not just that I understand it in all of its details. I see it, I get it, I got it, right? There is a young poetess, I don't remember her name, who wrote a little line that's popping to my mind right now. She said, if seeing is believing, believing is seeing beyond. So that's called hakora. Seeing, actually feeling, hakora. Hakora means to recognize.
Hakora, from the recognition.
Yeah, recognition. Hakora. But it's a sensual experience. In fact, in the English translation of this book, whenever he comes across the word das, he translates it sense perception.
Can I ask about that? What that means? I wanted to ask about that because I see in the book, he says sense perception, but I'm not sure. So is that the combination of these things? What is sense perception?
All right, so one way I take sense perception is that it's a perception, which you would say, you know, your mind perceives things. But at the same time, it's something that's touchable, feelable, tangible. And then I could reverse it also. It could be a sense of it. I mean, I guess that's sort of a sense of it. And I have, at the same time, I have sort of a sense of it. I have to perceive it that way. I understand it that way. I grasp it that way. But however you take it, it's the fusion of mind and touch. Mind and mind, sense, touch. I sense it. You know, even if you say you speak about your sense of smell, right? And we mean it, that it's one of the five senses. But, you know, it has when different smells have different experiences in your psyche, right? And everyone is familiar with this. Different kinds of aromas have different kinds of offspring in how you feel and perceive and how they're perceived or felt like. So in any case, however you're going to take it, Das is the fusion where mind and heart meet, and particularly where they meet as a heartfelt experience of the brain.
Rabbi, may I ask quickly one thing just to clarify, trying to help?
I don't know if that helps.
And the Kazarim.
We'll touch this again, but go ahead.
Rabbi, I think it was the Kazarim.
Yehuda Levi.
You mentioned, when we mentioned sense, you can only analogize anthropomorphically or physically to senses, but in Kazarim, Rabbi talked about a sense as a perception that we have, which we can only analogize to the physical senses, but it's not really physical senses.
Okay.
So when we say we sense something, we only, the closest we can to in our experience is say we have a glimpse at it, but it doesn't mean we're only analogizing right. it to a visionary, a glimpse. Right. It doesn't actually, I wouldn't assume, it doesn't actually mean visualization.
Okay, so now you brought me to the last point that was clean. No, you brought me to the last point, because here he means actually experiencing it bodily.
Okay.
All right. And that's the third dimension of Das. Das, we said, Haskashris, tying together, a core recognition, like I see it, I've got it. And the third is the first appearance, Aliza mentioned earlier, you've got to know where the word originates from and how it's originally being interpreted. The first appearance of the word Das is where Adam knows Chava. It's a real physical
fusion. Almost a gash.
That's what we're going to be after in Tefillah. So I think
the Gavoa to the left down to the physical level, where it's almost a Gashmius experience.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. I just don't understand.
So we'll explore this later next week. Before we close, anything hanging here that people want to talk about or ask any questions? Good. Okay, so we'll cut this and we'll continue next Tuesday, Mirtz Hashem.